I've been thinking about sanctification lately. Wanted to see what exactly it is. Because we see it quite a bit in the Bible. So, we've got this root word sanct. That is a Greek root, which means holy. See it in words sanctification, sanctity, sanctuary implies holiness. To sanctify means it's kind of a blend of meanings, which is kind of neat. Usually there's just a flat definition for something, but this is a process. Sanctify means to purify, to consecrate, and to devote for religious use. Consecrate, very, very similar to sanctify. They are seen together in the same verse a lot, especially in the Old Testament. Sometimes they are even interchangeable. One version will translate the Hebrew word kadash for sanctify or consecrate. Very similar words. We'll get into that a little bit later. Speaking of the Old Testament, sanctification is all over the Old Testament. You pull out Strong's, look at sanctify, Exodus, Leviticus, Malachi, Zechariah, John. So anyway, when God was setting up his first covenant, his old covenant, sanctification was a big part of it. Exodus chapter 29, verses 43 and 44 say, "At the door of the tabernacle of meeting, I will meet with the children of Israel. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests." In the Old Testament, God made sure two things were sanctified: his servants and his dwelling. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. It's ironic. I actually had this in my notes and we talked about it in class. It's a shadow of things to come and a tutor that brings us to Christ. So, God has not changed. He still makes sure that his servants and his dwelling are sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, "You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you." And chapter 4, verse 1, "We are servants of Christ." The first thing I noticed as I was studying this is that sanctification is personal. What do I mean by that? Notice what God said. "The tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I will sanctify Aaron to minister to me." Not let them be sanctified, let them be consecrated. Consecrate them. Consecrate yourself. No, I will. If he cares enough about his dwelling and his servants, he will personally be involved in your sanctification process. I made a point to look up the first word, or the first time the word sanctify was used in the Bible, period. Well, it's actually Genesis 2, whenever God sanctified the seventh day and made it holy. But the first time he used it in instruction to man, Exodus 13, verse 2. God says, "Sanctify to me all the firstborn among the children of Israel, both of man and beast. It is mine." The first time he said sanctify, he said, "It is mine." If the Lord desires something to be purified and devoted to him, which is what sanctification means, he claims it. "It is mine." Jude addresses his letter to those who are called sanctified by God the Father, and preserved by Jesus Christ. We'll see that quite a bit throughout this lesson, the concept of being called and chosen, going with sanctification. It's personal. God claims us. How about this connection between sanctify and consecrate? This is pretty interesting. Consecrate is actually two words in the Hebrew, male and yod. And if you translate this literally, male means to fill, and yod means hand. So when God said, I will consecrate Aaron and his sons, he is saying, I will fill their hand. If you're thinking I was scratching my head for about 5 minutes after finding that out, you're right. Sanctification is equipping. When God purifies us and devotes us to His sovereign use, He fills our hand. He equips us to be His servants, to be His dwelling. So as we leave the Old Testament, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. With this thought of filling our hand and equipping us to be servants in mind. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, so all those old sacrifices from the old covenant, if all those old sacrifices sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much shall his sacrifice cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Those old sacrifices didn't take the dead works out of our hands. How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works? Take them out of your hands and fill them to serve the living God. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul lists a lot of dead works, all the works of the flesh. Well, that's in Galatians. But here he describes some terrible things and says, as such were some of you, in verse 11. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. Which means what, by the way? To be named innocent, to be declared innocent. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Sanctification is God purifying us and thereby equipping us to be devoted to His holy purpose. The main thing I got out of this study was this. It's in the middle of my lesson. Sanctification is all about leaving the carnal man in the grave and becoming more like our Heavenly Father. I love cut and dried answers to questions, two sentence explanations for some deep question, but I didn't really find that here, unfortunately. This is the closest I can get. Sanctification is all about leaving the carnal man in the grave and becoming more like our Heavenly Father. And when I say carnal man, I mean the earthly side of us, the side of us that is tempted, that wants to make this home, that wants to pursue our own lusts and desires, regardless of whether or not it's good for us, good for other people, and what God has in store for us. That's leaving that man in the grave of baptism, where he stays, and we come up new to become more like our Heavenly Father. Be imitators of God as dear children. Ephesians 5, verse 1. As obedient children, don't conform yourselves to your former lusts, the carnal man, as in your ignorance before you were saved. But as he who called you is holy, You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So what's up with this children analogy? Be imitators of God as beloved children, as obedient children. Children are blameless, and they mirror their parents. When I was 5 or 6, I hated wearing belts, and I hated tucking my shirt. But I noticed that every morning when Dad would go to work and get ready for work, he'd put on his flannel, he'd roll up his sleeves halfway to the elbows, he'd put his belt on, tuck it in, and go out to work. So I decided one day, got to do what you got to do. So I put my flannel on, and I rolled up my sleeves, and I tucked it in, and I put that stupid belt on, and I went about my day. Well, here I am. Children mirror their parents. That's what God wants from us, that innocent, I got to be like Dad. And that's sanctification. Thank you, James, for reading Romans 12. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this tent we get to live in for a little while during this journey, that you present that a living sacrifice, holy, sanct, and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, the carnal man, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what transformation is. That's equipping. We present ourselves. He sanctifies, making us holy and acceptable, and transforms, so that we are equipped to prove His good, acceptable, and perfect will. By the way, that's all right. Okay. Sanctification is a guarantee, briefly. Now may the God of peace Himself, personal, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. He will do it, period. And He will sanctify you completely. Not partially, not as good as it's going to get for Destry. He will sanctify you completely, which is why sanctification is all hands on deck. What do you mean? I had to ask myself as I was studying, who and what are we sanctified through? That's all hands on deck. We are sanctified through the Father. I already read Jude verse 1. Those who are sanctified by God the Father. We're sanctified by Christ. I already mentioned His blood and how it cleanses us thoroughly. But also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. How about the Holy Spirit? 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God from the beginning chose you for salvation, chose you, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. Which brings us to truth. In addition to that verse, John 17:17 and 19. This is Jesus praying for us, by the way, right before He's about to be killed. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Which brings me to the word. In addition to that verse, Ephesians 5:25 and 26. Christ gave Himself for the church, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word.
Faith.
Acts 26, verse 18, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Suffering. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. Just a few verses here. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting for him to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That brings me to sanctification is a process. Notice in that verse I read, those who are being sanctified, present tense. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 10, verse 14. Are there events in your life that you can look back on now and say, that was sanctification? Yeah. Times you can look back and say, that was purifying. That was equipping me for deeper devotion to His good, acceptable, and perfect will. Those events you can look back on, were they pleasant? Some, yeah. Some, no. The things we encounter in life that are inconvenient, irritating, confusing, disheartening, unjust, terrifying, and depressing are all part of this purifying process called sanctification. But you're not alone. Because the entire way you have the Father, Christ, Holy Spirit, truth, the Word, faith, making this suffering sanctifying, not just suffering. I will bring them through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13, verse 9. Well, what does sanctification look like? How can I tell I'm being sanctified? Not just failing. Well, I don't have a great answer for that, but I do have two passages that give us a pretty good picture. We're just going to go ahead and read those. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 20 through 22. 2 Timothy 2, starting verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter being dishonor, if you cleanse yourself from dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful, equipped for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. That's equipment right there. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. It's a guarantee. That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness, sanct. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Those are good passages to study, to tear apart, which I'll let you do on your own. Sanctification is personal. It's equipping. It's a guarantee. It's all hands on deck, and it's a process. Sanctification is all about leaving the carnal man in the grave and becoming more like our Heavenly Father.